And welcome to Juno Afternoon. This is Shona Strasser here on this fine Thursday, July 11th. We have a great show in tune for you today. We have the Jessica Edwards from the Southeast Alaska State Fair talking about the fabulous state fair that happens every year in Southeast here. We'll hear a profile about DJ Astronomar produced by Annie Bartholomew. That's coming up. I'm excited to hear that profile by a fabulous Juno artist. Lena Simmons and Scarlett McAdam will update us on all happenings Juno Lyric Opera, and of course every Thursday we'll hear Arts Up, and Catherine Hash will be over from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council to talk with us about all the goings on in our fine capital city. And before we get started with our first guest, here is National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes in Montana stand to become the first tribe in the country to take over a major hydroelectric dam. The dam on tribal land was built in the 1930s and has been controlled by outside groups. Marcy Krivenin of Aspen Public Radio reports.
The massive Kerr Dam is near snow-capped mountains, close to ancient buffalo hunting grounds. Emerald green water violently sloshes over the lip of the dam and into the Flathead River. To say the area is beautiful is an understatement. A 19th century treaty created the Flathead Indian Reservation, and later white settlement brought agriculture. The massive dam was built by a local power company in the 1930s to quench the thirst of newly planted farms. Tribal member Jordan Thompson stands high above the dam.
This is a place of great spiritual significance for the tribes, and so when the dam was being built, the tribes really resisted. They were really trying not to have that dam built.
Thompson's with the tribally run company that's preparing to take over the dam. A treaty signed in 1985 transfers ownership to the tribes.
This is significant because it's an assertion of the tribe's sovereignty over the resources that they've used for their entire existence.
Sarah Bates with the University of Montana studies water, natural resources, and tribal lands. She says what the Salish and Kootenai are doing is a model for other tribes in the U.S.
You know, it's happening around the country. This is something that tribes have the capacity to step up and play not just a stakeholder role, but actually an owner and management role. When they aren't just participants in a process, but actually gain authority over those facilities, that's a major step forward in asserting and realizing their sovereignty.
Tribes in Oregon and New York State are attempting to gain control of hydroelectric projects. The Kerr Dam in Montana is run by Pennsylvania Power and Light. The tribes are still negotiating with PPL on the price of the dam. Tribal members plan to take over operations in September of 2015. For National Native News, I'm Marcy Krivenin.
An Oklahoma college is working to increase the number of Native American students studying science. KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports on the new program.
It's called Science Scholars, the Native American Path, and is intended to guide students at Oklahoma State University pursuing degrees in science, technology, engineering, and math fields. The program is funded through the Society for the Advancement of Chicanos and Native Americans in Science. The student chapter of the group at OSU in Stillwater, Oklahoma, is one of 40 in the country. It's also the only college chapter in the state. The society gave the university $40,000 last fall. The federal program receives funds through the National Institutes of Health. Among other things, the money allows students to travel to the group's national conference, one of the largest gatherings of minority scientists in the nation. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney.
During this month in 2012, President Obama signed the Helping Expedite and Advance Response Tribal Home Ownership Act into law. It allows tribes to lease restricted lands for residential, business, public, religious, educational, or recreational purposes without approval from the Interior Secretary. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
And by Humboldt State University, part of the California State University System, offering a part-time 3.5-year online Master of Social Work program emphasizing work in rural and indigenous communities. Learn more at humboldt.edu/socialwork. Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is seeking to fill two positions in our national studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are accepting applications for a senior producer for Native America Calling and resource development specialist to sell underwriting. Full job descriptions can be found at nativeamericacalling.com. Click on employment.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
and that's Jaffa Road, actually coming up here to the Southeast Alaska State Fair. And speaking of the Southeast Alaska State Fair, I have Jessica Edwards calling in from Haines. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you so much. So, Jessica, you're here to talk to us about the Southeast Alaska State Fair that's coming up. And what's your role in the State Fair?
Well, as of June 15th, I'm the executive director of the fair. I've worked at the fair since 2010, but I just took over the reins as the executive director at the departure of our former director, Ross Hoffman, who was he's off to the Marshall Islands to work with his wife at a school there.
Oh, wow. Sounds
so
great.
Yeah, they're off for a big adventure.
Yeah, great. So, you know, I love the Southeast Alaska State Fair. A lot of people from Juneau actually head up to visit it. So before we kind of move into the artists and all the fabulous things that happen, can you give us the days and times?
Yes. So the fair this year begins on July 25th. It's a Thursday. We open the gates at noon, and it goes Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday it closes at 4 p.m., and we have excellent entertainment Sunday afternoon, so it's worth staying for the whole thing if you can manage.
That's great. So Jaffa Road, we just listened to them. There's a huge band coming in. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
We're so excited they're coming. They're from Toronto. This is their second year being nominated for a Juno Music Award, which is the Canadian equivalent of a Grammy, in Best World Music Album. They are going to be playing Saturday night at 7:30. And as you heard, they just have this incredible mix of, like, traditional Middle East music with Indian influences, and they have this dub element that they bring in. So it's like this cool mix of modern and old that is just really exciting. And they're extremely deep. Like, they have a great repertoire, lots of different things that they're going to bring to the stage. So we're super excited.
And when can you catch them?
They're going to be 7:30, Saturday, July 27th, on the main stage. There's also a really cool thing they're going to do on Friday night. We have a new acoustic venue. It's a beautiful new stage over in a quiet area of the fairgrounds. They're going to do a workshop that focuses on Shabbat. So they're going to do a Shabbat ceremony of sorts that's all-inclusive and welcome at 6 o'clock at our new acoustic stage.
Oh, wow, that's great. So tell us a little bit more about that acoustic stage. What part of the fairgrounds, and what was the impetus behind creating this kind of new venue for the fair?
We've been needing another venue. We have so many artists and folks that want to come, and we have had in the past, we have the main stage where we've got the plugged-in music and the big acts, and then we have a more sort of intimate venue at the Klondike, which is but it's in a beer garden, and so it's kind of cramped, it's tight, intimate, but also, you know, it's not really family-friendly. So this new acoustic stage is going to be a lot less electric. You know, we won't have speakers there or anything. It's just going to be a venue for people who just want to get up and play. It's on the northeast corner of the fairgrounds where we have McPherson Barn and kind of the children's play area where we have it's a good place for families to sort of chill out when you're done with rides and games for a while. So it's a quieter area. It'll be really a nice place for families to be, and also for people of all ages who just want a quieter moment. Because the fair can be, especially for people from rural places like Haines, it can be pretty intense. There's a lot going on. So it's a place to kind of sit down and step back and take a deep breath. So we're really excited about it.
Unplug, so to speak.
Exactly.
Great. And so as far as other artists, I mean, the lineup this year is really incredible. Can you kind of give some of the greatest, you know, just the highlights? And
the highlights.
You could do lots of them, really.
Sure. We are, this is a great four-day entertainment lineup. I'm just so excited this year. We have Saturday night, I can just kind of continue. We have One World Taiko, which is a Japanese drumming group coming up from Seattle. The drums are enormous. They play them with big mallets, and they play them with big movement. So it's choreography and percussion. It's going to be super fun and dynamic to watch. That's right before Jaffa Road goes on. We'll also have, after Jaffa Road, Carrie Nation the Speakeasy, which is a super fun, high-energy bluegrass band from Wichita, Kansas, that are coming up. Our entertainment coordinator met and saw them play at the Winfield Bluegrass Festival in Kansas last year and just was blown away by them, so she asked them up. And then closing out Saturday night, we'll have Hillstomp, which is a group that was here two or three years ago. They're really fun beatbox, junkbox blues band, super high-energy, fun dance music. Other big highlights, Maria and the Shower, which was a favorite at Atlin Music Festival a couple years back. They play a neat kind of brand. I don't know if you've ever seen the HBO series Deadwood.
Yeah.
But their aesthetic kind of reminds me of that. Like, they sing songs about the Old West, and they have this sort of vaudeville appearance, and they have old-timey instruments, but their sound is super modern and kind of like postmodern kind of. It's neat. They're fun. Bad Tenants are a hip-hop group from Bellingham, Washington, so there'll be actually some rap, which will be fun. And then for the singer-songwriter folks, we have super excited to have Dave McGraw and Mandy Fair up from Washington State. They're just off a European tour, and they just released an album called Seed of a Pine. If you want to check that out online, it's beautiful songwriting, gorgeous music. They're coming up with a band, so it's up-tempo. Just really reminds me of the beautiful music of, like, Patti Griffith or one of those great voices. They have that's going to be really nice. That's Friday night, 7:30. We'll see them. So I could go on and on. There's lots more.
Yeah, well, for those people here in Juneau, I noticed a few Juneau musicians on this list. Do you want to hit some of those?
Yes, absolutely. So we definitely have we're excited to have George Kuhar and B-Team All-Stars coming up. George was here last year. Adam Wood, singer-songwriter from Juneau. Irene Mueller, also a great singer-songwriter from Juneau, coming up for the first time. Super excited to see her. We've got Elton. I'm not real familiar with them, but our entertainment coordinator made contact with them and is real excited that they're coming up. Slush Not Snow is another Juneau group that we're having. So, yeah, a lot of names from Juneau. And then, of course, the Taffy Stars dance team is going to do a performance on Saturday, first thing, and the Juneau Jumpers. We'll see them as well.
The Jumpers are headed up.
Yes.
Very cool.
To see them, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, so you could get your fill of Juneau artists as well as Haynes artists, too. What are some of the Haynes artists performing?
Well, folks who were at the Folk Festival this year probably recognize Julia Scott. She's got quite a great voice.
Yeah.
And she's playing on stage Friday afternoon at 5, so we're always excited to see her. Fish Pickers are another group. If you've come up to the Beer Festival or our Salmon Barbecue over Bike Race weekend, they play a really fun variety of sort of bluegrassy but more on the countryside. We love to see them. And Divine Funk, Tully Divine was a Juneau fixture for a long time, and
That's
he's
right.
come up back up to Haynes, and he's got a new band here. They're playing a really fun deep grooving kind of, they play Primus and a lot of rock music. So they're super fun. They're going to play Saturday night. Windy Valley Boys from Skagway are always a favorite. I guess I should also mention that we have a talent show on at 6 o'clock on Thursday. If folks are coming up on Thursday, and that we have it's been quite a draw, actually. We've had bigger crowds the last 3 years on Thursday night because people love to watch this talent contest, and we're still accepting entries for that. The grand prize is $400, and there's one for Best Adult Act and Best Youth Act, so that's a fun thing to watch. I guess
right.
I shouldn't miss the Swing Set, too. They're a great Haynes band that people like to see. So.
Yeah, so, you know, the Southeast Alaska State Fair actually has something for everyone. So you could actually watch music forever, you know. But what are some of the other highlights for kids?
For kids, we have a really fun area that's dedicated just for kids on the back corner of the fairgrounds. And besides the antique carousel, which is just super fun to ride, I still love to ride the carousel. We have a Ferris wheel, and we have children's carnival games there's always long lines. The people love them. We have a children's puppet show this year that's free, so a lot of interaction with handmade puppets, and we have a bounce house for the little ones to jump up and down and get out all the energy from all the sugar that you just ate. We have lots of kids' crafts and games at the kids' stage. We have this free area that's just to sit down and make a cool thing out of a paper bag or a little cardboard parrot or glue sequins on something, and kids love it. They just like to be tactile and get their hands into things. So we also have a barn full of animals, and that is a huge draw for families and for kids. Just something about patting the nose of a goat and checking out chickens and seeing alpacas, you know, what is an alpaca and what does it look like, and why is that fair? So,
you know, it's a great thing. The petting zoo is always one of my biggest, you know, draws. I've got to say, and it's not something that here in Juneau we don't get a lot of petting zoo opportunity. So,
no, it is a cool thing about the fair. Yeah, really interacting with animals.
Yeah. So, as far as people wanting to get more information, a complete schedule, and that kind of stuff, where can we look online to find more info?
We have a lot of information on our website at SEAK, like Southeast Alaska, SEAKfair.org. And we have a bunch of stuff on our main page about contests. We have a lot of contests during the fair, too. An alien adventure run this year. We have a Haynes Hustle. So a lot of that contest information is on the main page. Or you can go up to our events tab under fair, and you can see all the information about events and contests and entertainment schedules and bios for entertainers and such. I did also want to mention, if I have a moment, that the Juneau exhibit deadline is coming up. So Beth Bolander, who is a nurse at Bartlett Hospital, is also our entertainment coordinator, but she collects exhibits, creative arts and crafts exhibits for Juneau, and she's collecting them July 14th, 15th, and 16th at the emergency room entrance at Bartlett Hospital. So if anyone has a beautiful quilt or a sweater that they've made or preserve something or another that they think is spectacular that they'd like to send up for judging and exhibiting at the fair, that's the time to do it.
Yeah, totally affordable way to visit the emergency room.
Exactly. And an odd reason to go. Not a positive reason to go to the emergency room.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much. Could you give us that website just one more time? Because I know I've looked at it probably 7 times in the last couple of weeks, and I'm getting kind of excited. So,
It's SEAKfair.org. And folks are also welcome to call anytime. Our number is 766-2476. We're happy to talk to anyone about anything fair related.
Great. Jessica, thanks so much for talking with us today about the Southeast Alaska State Fair coming up July 25th in beautiful, just gorgeous Haynes, Alaska, with fabulous music and fabulous family opportunities. So we really appreciate it, and nice talking with you today.
Absolutely. Nice talking to you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. And we're going to hear from Tracy Spring here, also an artist at the festival. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks so much.
On an airborne highway, with the bird's eye view, all the doesn't matter, all I did and did not do. 7 miles above the ocean, still in wrinkled blue, 7 hours of air in motion, between me and you. Say I'm coming, say I'm going, life can be a palindrome. Of my tongue, like the evening sun falling, rising into dawn, I know I'm going, coming home. There's an angel on my shoulder, sleeping in my ear. There's a devil telling me how to further my career. He won't disturb her slumber, let sleeping angels lie. That devil's got my number, but he can kiss my soul goodbye. Hear it coming, hear it go, no devil lives on palindrome. Like the evening sun falls.
And that's Tracy Spring, and you can find her at the Southeast Alaska State Fair coming up here at the end of July. And we're very excited. I'm really excited that we have a fabulous, fabulous profile on DJ Astronomar, a Juno favorite, produced by Annie Bartholomew. And it's DJ Astronomar, and I can't wait to hear all about his fabulous music. I'm really excited that he's here.
This is the sound of a generation, the millennials' age of Aquarius. It's called electronic dance music, and it's taking the world by storm. Imagine Woodstock, except on the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, with neon light sculptures the size of buildings, and 300,000 of your peers screaming and dancing to this. That is what Juneau native Marlon Lumba, known as Astronomar, was performing 3 weeks ago at the Electric Daisy Carnival. Now signed to the record label Main Course in L.A., and with an Australian music tour happening in August, Lumba is returning to Juneau for a series of shows to share his music with the community where he got started.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I might have to bless.
Lumba was 17 when he first scratched records before an audience, DJing with the Animatronic Stage Show, a hip-hop group with a rotating cast of MCs, or rappers. During the early 2000s, the Alaskan Bar became the center of Juneau's hip-hop community, with a weekly event, Monday Night Raw. Jake Good, an MC who goes by Audiovisual, was one of the founding members of the Animatronic Stage Show. At Monday Night Raw, Good would mix records and rap with Lumba.
It was just like a hip-hop night, like a jam night. We were just DJing, going down to the spot, and we'd all play sets, just spin records and mix. And then at the end of the night, we'd open up the mic and, you know, play beats and let people rap and give people an atmosphere where they could come down and experience hip-hop and even participate in it if they wanted to, you know?
Scott McKinnon was a regular at these hip-hop shows. Today, he is known by his DJ name, Shorthand. It was at Monday Night Raw that Lumba started to collaborate with McKinnon, and the pair formed a group, File Jerks. Lumba came up with the name, a sort of metaphor for ripping music off the internet. The group employs a technique where small pieces of an original song are recorded and modified using effects to create a whole new song that sounds like this. File Jerks played nearly every venue in Juneau before hitting a ceiling in the local scene. In 2008, Lumba and McKinnon packed up for Seattle, gambling their fate in a bigger market.
Yeah, moving to a big city from a small town, I feel like, is like a pretty big test of, you know, whether or not you're actually going to cut it.
Though Lumba's music was rooted in hip-hop, in Seattle, he became influenced by the sound of nightclubs. Using his personal computer and basic audio software, Lumba was able to create new songs he would play during live performances. He incorporated house music into his sound, an electronic subgenre at 126 beats per minute, with a consistent 4-4 tempo. Like most pop music, Lumba's follows a structure, but instead of a verse, chorus, and bridge, his songs follow an intro, build up, and drop.
Yeah, it's like tropical hard house with like some coconuts and some graffiti mixed in there.
Lumba believes electronic dance music is popular because just like disco and other genres before it, young people have a desire to detach from their problems and let loose on the dance floor.
I think people just want to have fun, you know? Like, it's like one of the most stressful times to be alive. There's so much happening, there's technology's crazy, like, so much stimulus, people just want to, like, just kind of let go.
And people did let go. 600 of Juneau's young people showed up at the Twisted Fish last week to see him perform. Despite living outside, Astronomar continues to be an inspiration for Juneau's hip-hop community. Juneau hip-hop organizer, TJ Kramer, who goes by Manor, will be at Monday Night Raw and looks forward to Astronomar's presence at Juneau's notorious hip-hop event tonight.
You know, there's a time for everybody, and I think it's his time.
In Juneau, I'm Annie Bartholomew.
And thank you, Annie, very much for that profile on Local Boy gone big time, DJ Astronomar. We're so lucky that he's coming home, returning to his community to bring us some solid beats. Hello. Coming up next here, we're going to hear something that we hear every week, every Thursday, Writer's Almanac. Thanks so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Here's Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, July 11th, 2013. It's the birthday of the essayist and children's writer E.B. White, born in Mount Vernon, New York in 1899. After college, he had a few gigs as a journalist, traveled around the country with a friend of the Model T, worked on a cruise ship in Alaska. Then when he moved back to New York, he picked up The New Yorker the year it came out, liked it, sent some pieces in. He was a regular contributor and a couple of years later became a staff member. He even married Catherine Angel, an editor at the magazine. They moved to a farmhouse in rural Maine. White kept writing for The New Yorker, but he also wrote about his experience with rural life. He especially liked to write about the animals he kept on his farm. E.B. White had 18 nephews and nieces, and they were always asking him to tell stories. He wasn't very good at thinking up stories on the spot, so he started writing a children's book so that he would always have a story on hand. A book he worked on for 15 years turned out to be the tale of a mouse child named Stuart Little. The book begins, "When Mrs. Frederick C. Little's second son arrived, everybody noticed that he was not much bigger than a mouse." E.B. White, who said, "I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. This makes it hard to plan the day." It's the birthday of the literary critic Harold Bloom, born in New York City in 1930. His parents were Jewish immigrants, and his first language was Yiddish, but he fell in love with English poetry and read it before he had ever heard English spoken aloud. He started reading Walt Whitman and Hart Crane when he was 8 years old. He went on to become one of the most influential literary critics in the country, one of the last critics who argues that great literature is a product of genius and that we shouldn't read to understand history or politics or culture, but to understand the human condition. It's the birthday of the artist best known for a painting of his mother, James Abbott McNeill Whistler, born in Lowell, Massachusetts in 1834. The painting was titled Arrangement in Gray and Black No. 1, but it's more commonly known as Whistler's Mother. It's a portrait of Anna Matilda McNeill Whistler in a black dress, seated in profile against a gray wall. When Whistler's scheduled model didn't show up for a sitting, he decided to paint his mother instead. And here's a poem by Richard Shelton, titled, "If I Were a Dog." I would trot down this road sniffing on one side and then the other, peeing a little here and there whenever I felt the urge, having a good time, what the hell, saving some because it's a long road. But since I'm not a dog, I walk straight down the road trying to get home before dark. If I were a dog and I had a master who beat me, I would run away and go hungry and sniff around until I found a master who loved me. I could tell by his smell, and I would lick his face so he knew. Or maybe it would be a woman. I would protect her. We could go everywhere together, even down this dark road, and I wouldn't run from side to side sniffing. I would always be protecting her, and I would stop to pee only once in a while. Sometimes in the afternoon we could go to the park, and she would throw a stick, and I would bring it back to her. Each time I put the stick at her feet, I would say, "This is my heart." And she would say, "I will make it fly, but you must bring it back to me." I would always bring it back to her and to no other if I were a dog. If I Were a Dog, a poem by Richard Shelton from his collection, The Last Person to Hear Your Voice, published by the University of Pittsburgh Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. This is Billy Collins, hoping you will join us next time here on The Writer's Almanac.
And thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and we're having a fabulous Thursday here. And I'm so lucky, in the studio with me is Lena Simmons and Scarlett Adam with Juno Lyric Opera. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi
there.
Yeah, so you all have a lot of, we were just kind of talking before we were coming on air here, and you all have a lot of stuff going on.
It is not a down season right now, by any means.
The season has begun. We're in full swing.
Great. So can you tell me about some of the fabulous, actually, things happening? What's going on with Juno Lyric Opera right now?
Well, Monday night, we have our annual meeting, which, of course, you have to. Every nonprofit and every board of directors, everybody else, always has to have an annual meeting, and this is ours.
Mm-hmm.
And you're invited, 6 o'clock Monday night, and we're going to talk about the things we did right last year, and the things we could do. Well, we did things right. Hairspray. We did Hairspray. We did
right. We do everything right.
And upcoming, what the upcoming season is going to entail, and we'll elect, you know, new board of directors. And it's just a good way, if you've never really wondered about what all the opera does, it's a great sort of one-hour crash course in here's what we do.
Yep.
Yeah.
6 o'clock Monday at our JLO office, which is at 114 Franklin, on the second floor. Everyone is invited.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Great. That's a great way to see just how even a nonprofit works.
Yeah, it really is. And it's fun, and it's a terrific board. It'll be a fun hour of catch-up and reminiscence and plans. And
pats on the back.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That sort of thing.
So, yeah. And then, of course, we have, moving into our busy season, we have underway right now our rehearsals for the chorus for La Traviata have begun. Jan Capel is here from Texas, and we're rehearsing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursday nights, and we are still looking for singers. We have kind of a different arrangement this year for La Traviata. It's going to be semi-staged, so the chorus gets to sit on the stage and hold their scores. Everybody is invited, and they do not want to miss this. This is going to be a great show to be a part of.
And it's great music.
Oh.
One of the things Verdi does really well is do wonderful chorus music. It's not going to be like when I was in Così fan tutte in Mozart. The chorus sang at the beginning of the first act and sang at the very end of the third act.
3 hours later.
3 hours later. And so you come in for a few minutes at the very beginning, then you got to wait through the whole thing, and then just show up for your 2 minutes for the finale at the end.
Mm-mm.
This is not like that at
no.
all. We have great music.
Yeah.
In Traviata.
And we have a terrific cast for the show. It's official, and it's going to be a beautiful production. We've got Kathleen Wayne and a newcomer to town, Sarah Radke Brown, is going to sing the role of Flora. And we've got Philippe Demerval is going to come back down to Juno from Anchorage and sing, and David Miller, and Mark Kratz is coming back to town. Some people may remember him. He sang the role of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast a few years ago. So it's going to be a great production. If people have questions, they can certainly call the office, 586-ARIA.
Oh, glad really? You could just show up. We'd be glad to have you. Glad to have you at chorus rehearsals.
So where are the rehearsals?
Generally speaking, they're going to be at Northern Light United Church. There will be a few changes here and there, and we'll let them know. But pretty much Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, you can show up at Northern Light at 7:30, and we'll give you music and get you singing.
Oh, that sounds like a great opportunity to just get involved and get
mm-hmm.
on stage.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
you don't have to put on makeup, and you don't have to wear those funky, you know, 19th century costumes. And you can sit there and hold your breath. You don't have to memorize the music.
Yeah.
And so when is that performance actually going up?
It's going to be the last weekend of September, the 28th and the 29th, just two performances at JDHS. We needed a big stage for this. So, and since it's only two performances, people need to think about their calendar and getting their tickets in advance. Again, they don't want to miss this one. It's going to be terrific.
Who's directing it?
Actually, since it's semi-staged, Todd Hunt is music directing, and we're going to allow our performers to sort of flounce on and off and emote as they feel. it should. We may have a few people come in with some ideas, but other than that, it should be pretty simple.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
We'll focus on the music.
Yes. Exactly.
Fabulous. So what else is going on here with Juno Lyric Opera?
Mm.
Starting on the 29th of this month, our Midsummer Vocal Festival begins.
What mm-hmm. is that?
Okay, for 2 weeks for 2 weeks in the summer, and we do this normally every other summer, but for the last year or two, we've done it every summer.
Yeah.
We take a major choral work or two, and spend 2 weeks learning it and perform it at the end. Dr. Byron McGilvery comes up, as he has been coming up for now almost 25 years. And this year we're doing the Morton Morrison's Lux Aeterna, which is a very quiet piece, and following it with the Vivaldi Gloria, which is not a quiet piece.
Oh, it's fun.
And so we'll spend 2 weeks doing that and have a performance on August 10th.
Yes.
And so how does somebody get involved in that? Is it more of a training opportunity with a performance, or how does...
Well, yeah. you show up, you pay your money. It is a workshop.
It's a learning experience.
And we have, you know, travel fees for Byron to get here, and we got to pay him something. We got to buy the scores or whatever, and rent the facility. It's at Northern Light. We usually basically make enough to cover expenses. There's never any thing over. And you show up, you write your check, we give you the music, and you sit there and you sing.
Yeah, it's terrific. And since it's conducted by Byron, who is just brilliant, every night is a new learning experience. Even for those of us who have been doing it for a really long time, I come away every year just more smarter, Shauna.
That's my new catchphrase.
More smarter. Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. And there's a lot of people who've been doing this for years, and then there are new people who show up. It's a great way to meet new folks in the community and just sort of spend some terrific time with people who share a love of music. Yeah.
Great, and it's the same kind of 586 aria that you can check this
mm-hmm.
out.
Any questions, they can go to our website at junoopera.org, or they can call the office, and our new executive director, Rosie, will give them the lowdown.
Or even like us on Facebook.
Yes, you could even go to Facebook.
Oh, fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with Midsummer after that, we've got Who's Your Diva coming up.
Which
you will know. Shauna knows all about it.
Yes.
2013 Who's Your Diva. This year it's going to be at the Jack again on September 7th at 7 p.m. Tickets are on sale now. If you've tried to get in the door and it was sold out in the past, you know you need to buy your tickets soon. And we have another great lineup. It's amazing. The talent in this town is just amazing. Do I have time to give the list
Please.
Of names? Okay, so this year for our divas, we have Callie Connerton, Cameron Brockett, Leslie Wood, Lori Daniels, Mary Graham, Christina Bruce, Erin Messing, Hannah Hoshide, Shelby Cook, and this year we have Taylor Vidic coming back.
Ooh. She's a diva who can't be stopped.
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrific one. So,
and you know, I really like, too, that you have a lot of young names in there. So you have a lot of up-and-coming singers who...
We have to replace ourselves.
Yeah, this is true. It's very exciting, and it seems like there's no end to the talent. And of course, we have some folks who have been out there singing for a while, but this will be their first time really getting out in the spotlight, and they're brave, wonderful women. I am so excited for this year.
Yeah, it's going to be fabulous. And as far as, you know, if you're not a person who gets involved, let's say, on stage singing,
mm-hmm.
are there other opportunities to get involved with JLO?
There are always opportunities.
Yes, one of the ways that JLO can do the things it does is because we run on volunteers, sweat and tears and blood, and so we love our volunteers, and we're always looking for folks to help make costumes, move set pieces, take tickets, hand out programs. If anybody has a little bit of extra energy and a few hours in the day and they want to help, again, call our office and we will put them to work behind the scenes. There's lots to be done, as you well know.
Yeah. And so you've got, that's a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
You've got your Midsummer program coming up, and you've got the Divas, and you're in rehearsal for La Traviata. And then what after that?
Ooh, then we have Holiday Pops in December. This will be our 7th annual Holiday Pops, I believe, with Sally Smith at the helm. And then after that, we'll move right into Midwinter with Dr. McGilvery again.
And we're very excited. This is our 25th Midwinter Vocal Festival. And so... he's not here, so I can say we're going to do something special.
We're going to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And then after Midwinter, we move right into spring. And this year, we are going to do I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. So we're very excited about that one.
Fabulous musical.
Yeah, it's a little different for us, but we're going to take it on, and I think we're going to have a great time.
Well, I think we learned a lot when we collaborated with the high school on Hairspray, is that... We actually, when in working with other people and doing things, know more about what we're doing than we thought we did.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of egotistical, but it's true. And we're able to branch out, I think,
we're
a
excited.
Little more.
We're excited. Excited to try new things and bring more people in. And
it's appropriate to do, you know, somebody said, what's Juno Lyric Opera doing Broadway for, you know? But, you know, we exist to give people an opportunity to sing. And we do that in opera, and we do that in choral workshops, and we do that with Diva. And we can do that with Broadway as well.
Right.
Because, let's face it, as we were talking earlier, you know, in this town, it's been, once you get out of high school, there was no place to go if you wanted to be in a musical anymore, you know.
Yeah.
With Douglas Little Theater not doing much anymore. And so we need to fill that niche. And I think this will be a great show to do it with.
Yep.
Well, great. So if people want to get more information about all the various programs and get in contact to volunteer, to get on stage, backstage, mm-hmm. all of that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. where can they, can
go
you
go to the website?
Yeah. Right.
JunoOpera.org.
Ooh, we're in stereo.
Ooh, I like that.
Or they could call 586-ARIA, A-R-I-A, and talk to Rosie, our executive director.
Fabulous. Well, Scarlett and Lena, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about Juno Lyric Opera. It's just some amazing stuff that's going on all the time. So
we're
look forward.
Busy.
That sounds good. And we'll be right back with some more Juno Afternoon. Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. Thanks so much for joining me. And here in the studio, also joining me is Catherine Hatch with Every Thursday's Arts Up.
Hi, Shona. How are you? Doing well on a rainy day today. Lots of things going on if you are young, younger than me. If you're a kid, there's a bunch of classes going on to keep you busy all summer. We do have the Summer Theater Arts Rendezvous already started. We're really looking forward to the performances at the end of the summer for that. Guys and Dolls Jr., King Lear, Cinderella. This week we are also wrapping up some classes at the Canvas. There was mural painting, there was beginning wheel throwing, and also Klingit basket weaving, plaiting and twining. So that's going to be really good. Next week we'll start new ones there, and the Fishy Times camp as well. Tonight is the premiere at Goldtown of Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing.
I can't wait to see that. I'm a theater geek, but, you know, I can't wait.
Well, are you also like a Buffy geek, a Dr. Horrible geek, everything Joss Whedon? It's kind of, if you've never heard of him, or you love him. It's kind of the Joss Whedon credo there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge, like, Joss Whedon girl, but I'm a big Much Ado girl, and I'm going to see how this all plays out. We'll see.
Well, now I know that about you.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna
you can't
you
not
it.
Know that. Yeah.
No, I'm excited to see it, too, because I will just see anything he puts out, even though it probably is going to break my heart in some place, but you know, just bring a tissue and bring your laughing things, and it'll be great. Friday, Storytime with Kraft, the Valley Library. We also have the noon organ concert at the State Office Building. Then, of course, we kick off our Food Truck Fridays with the Mosquito Market at the Jack. This week it's a little bit different. We've mostly had music on, with the exception of the Poetry Slam. But this week at 5:30, we've got Tom Cosgrove with his storytelling on stage. He does his almost normal or nearly normal Alaska series, so it's going to be a little bit fun about life revelations. He's got 30 minutes to wow us. Then we'll move right into Jazzberry, Doug Bedilla doing his smooth kind of really nice elevator jazzy stuff, so we're going to be relaxing and munching on your food there. Then, totally switching around, we've got the Nancy Barnes dance group. They go by the name Yeast Ku'u, and it's totally multicultural. She was telling me today how it's all different nations together, people just having fun with what they do. So they're going to be up there dancing away. And come join us for that and get your dinner and buy some art from our local artists. And if you haven't already seen the gallery that debuted at the Jack last First Friday, this is your chance. So all happening this Friday, like every Friday all summer, Food Truck Fridays at the Jack.
So cool.
Then take off your extra tufts, put on your extra tux. We have the Ha'ani First Annual Cufflink and Pearls Gala. That's going to be up at the Mount Roberts Tram. It's a huge fundraiser for Sea Alaska, and that is how they are choosing to kick off Saturday's Oyster Fest. That's going to be all day Saturday, but if you're like me, not so much a fishy person, the best thing about oysters is the pearl. So cufflinks and pearl would be something that I would be more interested in. But after you have that, you've got to go to the Oyster Fest all day Saturday. Of course, the Much Ado About Nothing is going to play all Thursday through Sunday of this week and next at different times. So check that out.
Hey, where's that Oyster Fest?
Oyster Fest is going to be at the Sea Alaska parking lot, so right downtown. And you can get a dozen oysters for $20 or 12 for half a dozen. They've flown in this super fancy oyster chef from New York.
Okay.
Grand Plaza Oyster, I believe. And so they're preparing them in ways that you've never had them before and ways that you love. So a little
bit
of each.
Are the oysters, do you know, I mean, will it be from, you know, I know there's cake oysters, and do we know where these oysters are coming from?
Probably all over the place. I think just the sheer amount of them would force me to believe that they are kind of sourced, I mean, locally, but might all be from a little bit of everywhere, just so that we can feed the people who come out this weekend, because it's going to be from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. There's even an oyster crawl from the different restaurants around town starting at 7, so you can go and check out the different oyster dishes from place to place. Kind of like a pub crawl, only oysters.
I love that. I love that.
Because they're a little slimy, but, you know, so fancy.
So, yes, they're an acquired taste.
You will love oysters. I'm just really in it for the pearls myself. Biggest event, I would say, this weekend is probably the Richard Dowling's return to Juneau. You know, this pianist, he's out of Houston. He was already here in Juneau back during the Juneau Jazz and Classics Festival, and I think some begging and pleading happened to get him back here so quickly. Fortunately, he's going to have about the same weather as he did back then. But he is here doing a concert this Friday at the Shepherd of the Valley Church. So we've got one in the Valley, and then on Saturday, going to be here downtown at the Northern Lights Church, both at 7:30 p.m., and that's Richard Dowling doing Chopin, Joplin, Gershwin, and more.
Mm.
And he's just been a phenomenal artist. The people I've seen buying tickets are people who already saw him and are going back, so he's that good. And if you missed him last time, come again. You've got another chance. It's very rare that we do that, so he's coming out to Juneau again. And my favorite thing about what Richard Dowling does when he's in town, he did this last time as well, at the Gold Town again. They've been having all year this kind of not-so-silent film series where they've been revisiting those classics that are now almost 100 years old. And with silent films, of course, how they used to do it is they would have a live performer doing it, just four gramophones and all that fancy stuff. So you'd have the silent movie on screen and then an artist playing the piano in the corner. Now we have the opportunity for that again. It was so popular last time, it sold out. They had to do an impromptu show right on the back of it. So this time they're going to have a double feature, two different films. Safety Last, which is the one that they did last time. Very, very famous film. It's got that scene of the man falling off the clock tower, holding onto the hand, so you'll recognize it. And then from the same director, they'll have Girl Shy, which is kind of a really, really old comedy romance, and it's going to be, with the piano, it's going to be really, really interesting.
You know, and if you haven't checked out these not-so-silent film series, it's amazing what's happening. You know, it feels just like a slice from a different time. And,
right.
It's not to be missed.
Well, what's funny is, you know, silent films are almost back in style now because The Artist came out a few years ago and kind of spotlighted how black and white really changed theater and how you can look at a movie and not hear things but still understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the music helps along with that. Now, we're jumping around the calendar a bit because his live concerts with the Chopin, Joplin, Gershwin, and more, that's Friday and Saturday at 7:30. But this double film silent feature is going to be Tuesday starting at 7 for the first movie and 9 for the second one there. So back to our weekend activities. Besides the Oysterfest, we do have more youth classes going on at the Canvas. There's going to be cartooning, so that's always going to be fun. That's every Saturday for the next few weeks. We also have the third annual Day at the Pool down at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, so it's free to go and have a little swim. Then on Sunday, as always, 11 a.m., weekly ukulele jam at Rockwell Costa's Diner downtown. And, of course, on Sunday at 6:30, our Music on the Fly Airport series, this week featuring Jim Noel doing solo jazz piano. So kind of a jazzy theme going on.
A jazzy piano weekend.
Jazzy Jack. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
And that's, of course, free, just like Food Truck Fridays. Just hand out to the airport. Whether or not you're going somewhere, whether or not you're picking someone up, just hang out baggage claim and, you know, don't look suspicious, and then listen to free music. What else is going on? At the Jack, actually, 7:30 on Sunday, so right after you've heard our jazz, come back to the Jack, because we've got the It's Finally Summer concert featuring the Alaska String Band, and which is right here out of Juneau, and they're teaming up with Link Union, which is another string band, but out of Lebanon, Missouri. So, double feature there. It's $17 if you get your tickets in advance, or $20 at the door, so at the Jack for that. I don't know how they're embracing the summer with their title, It's Finally Summer. I know in previous years they were calling it Wishing It Were Summer and things like that, so might have to do a last-minute poster change with that, but maybe it'll warm up. You never know. Monday, new classes going on at the Canvas. This week, all morning, Monday to Friday, we'll have the digital photography with Ben Huff. We also have at the Zach Gordon Youth Center in the afternoons, H2 Awesome Camp. You know, we've got water everywhere in Juneau, so get ready to get wet. There's going to be swimming, kayaking, and, of course, water balloon flight. Wouldn't be complete without that. Abstract acrylic painting class at the Canvas that evening. Goldtown is featuring, again, Hannah Arnett, which is all about this special woman, Hannah, in post-World War II Germany and kind of how they were recovering. So they said it was so good, they're gonna feature it again this Tuesday. So if you missed it last week, come back. Tuesday, Beginning Wheel 2 class at the Canvas. It's more for adults. That's going to be in the evening. Also, the Formline Sign class at the Canvas is going on. Then we have that double silent feature series we talked about at Goldtown. On Wednesday, Storytime with Crafts, the Downtown Library. Then we have a Zines with Electra class for youth at the Canvas at 6:30 p.m. Goldtown is featuring Informant that evening at 7. And like every Wednesday at 8 p.m., there'll be Devil's Club live at the Viking for the 21 and older. And Thursday, Storytime with Crafts, and more of the Much Ado About Nothing at Goldtown. So it's really broken up by age here. You've got to just kind of figure out, am I 21 and older? Am I 8 to 10? Am I, you know, ready old enough to go to a Pearls Gala? That kind of thing. And figure out which class you're ready to sign up for and be with your peers. But Food Truck Friday is, of course, all ages. So come to that, young and the old alike.
Yeah. Definitely check out Food Truck Fridays. Can you give us the website where we might actually find more fabulous information about what happens?
Right. As you know, this is just the highlights that I handpicked myself, so maybe I left things out that you want to know more about or more information about these events. That's going to be at our jack.org, jahc.org. Right at the front there, we've got the calendar a little bit to the right. You'll see everything that's happening at our facility and all over town. And to get yourself on that calendar, shoot us an email or call us, 586-ARTS.
586-ARTS. Catherine Hatch, thank you so much. Every week, every Thursday, Arts Up, all your local arts information. You know what? Arts and more, really, I would say. Arts and more, which
sure.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. Bye, Shauna.
If you're a fan of Garrison Keillor, here's an opportunity you won't want to miss. KTOO is planning a special 40th anniversary trip to see a live broadcast of A Prairie Home Companion on September 21st. Our custom travel package includes 3 nights at the St. Paul Hotel, tickets to the show, ground transportation, a K2 reception, and a visit to Minnesota Public Radio Studios.
Proceeds benefit KTOO. Visit ktoo.org/anniversary to learn more.
Programming support comes from the Mount Roberts Tramway and the Timberline Bar and Grill, featuring Dungeness, Snow, and King Crab now through late August. The Mount Roberts Tram and the Timberline Bar and Grill, proud sponsors of Public Radio in Juneau. More info at 463-3412.
And thanks so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon today. My name is Shona Strasser. Such a pleasure to be with you. Tomorrow on Juno Afternoon, Pat Moore hosts. We'll get a preview of Sunday's concert by the Alaska String Band and Link Union. We'll spotlight the Aurora Project with owner Scott Baxter. C.B. Bernard will talk about his new book, Chasing Alaska. And Tom Cosgrove will be here to talk about his storytelling at Food Truck Friday. Thanks very much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon.
Reputation is in a very weak state right now in Egypt, and rocking the boat with too strong a statement would be very damaging.
Why has President Obama been so cautious about Egypt?
It's Thursday.